I had to bust out a little technology today because there was no toner in the printer, which was just driving me crazy. At the worst times, these things happen. So here we go. Today, we celebrate the Feast of Divine Mercy, which started 21 years ago on April 30th, 2000, when the Polish nun named Faustina Kowalska was canonized as a saint at St. Peter's Square in Rome by St. Pope John Paul II. St. Faustina is known for her diary, which was later published as the Diary of St. Maria Faustina Kowalska, Divine Mercy in My Soul. St. Faustina wrote that on the night of Sunday, February 22, 1931, while she was in her room in Plock, Poland, Jesus appeared to her as the King of Divine Mercy, wearing a white garment with red and pale rays emanating from his heart. In her diary, she wrote that Jesus told her, "Paint an image according to the pattern you see with the signature, Jesus, I trust in you. I desire that this image be venerated," which we are doing right now, "first in your chapel and then throughout the world. I promise that the soul that will venerate this image will not perish." St. Faustina's diary also revealed many more promises told to her by Jesus. Another passage records, "My heart overflows with great mercy for souls, and especially for poor sinners. If only they could understand that I am the best of fathers to them, and that it is for them that the blood and water flowed from my heart as from a fount of overflowing mercy. These rays shield souls from the wrath of my Father. Happy is the one who will dwell in their shelter, for the just hand of God shall not lay hold of them. I desire that the first Sunday after Easter be the Feast of Mercy." This is one of the amazing reasons that we celebrate Divine Mercy, is so that we realize how big and deep God's mercy is for every one of us. But there is a cost to receive that mercy from God. And the cost is discipleship. That's what we hear in our gospel today. The disciples receive the Holy Spirit so they can be supercharged versions of themselves and be disciples of Christ. For those who are actually willing to follow him and do his work, they are within Christ's mercy. I was going to tell you guys a little bit of a story that happened yesterday. It was kind of funny. So yesterday I was celebrating Mass in the parish center for our youth who are preparing for confirmation. And, you know, amazingly, Providence always does these different things, especially with readings. And you probably have noticed this in your own life as well, where certain days, there are certain things that you're going through, and the readings for that day are as if, like, they were directed at you specifically. It's amazing how sometimes we get that gift and that grace. So yesterday, even though our youth minister Amanda did not plan this, that was the day we had our last confirmation meeting for the kids. And what was the gospel? It's this very gospel where you have confirmation, essentially. You know, being sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit as Christ breathes that on his apostles. And one of the amazing things about this, for those of you that remember just recently, of course, we have our Holy Thursday Mass. Now, traditionally, Holy Thursday is the washing of the feet, but it is also the Chrism Mass here in the Archdiocese. And so the Chrism Mass is what usually will happen on that day, is that is when all of the sacramental oils for the year are blessed by the bishop for distribution to the whole Archdiocese, where they'll be used for baptisms and anointings and confirmations and everything that we use our holy oil for. And so one of the unique parts of that rite, not that many people get to see a Chrism Mass. Some people have been, but not that often. So there's an amazing part where the chrism oil is used at baptism, confirmation, and ordination. All of the oil is pure olive oil, but the chrism oil is special because it has a certain aromatic called balsam that's actually mixed with the oil. And so that's what gives it that amazing fragrant smell. But after the balsam is poured by the bishop into the oil, the very next thing that he does is he leans over the vessel of that oil And then he breathes the sign of the cross three times into that oil, breathing down into that oil as a symbol of this, as a symbol of what we hear in the gospel, that he says he breathed on them, receive the Holy Spirit. And we say in the confirmation rite, be sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit. So that's the gospel that these young people got to hear yesterday. But during our Mass, as many of you know who have teenagers, there might be a few teenagers here right now, or maybe you're the grandparents of some teenagers or have obviously raised teenagers, they are like the toughest crowd. I don't know. It's like there's a magical transformation, I don't know, somewhere between sixth and seventh grade, where they just become the most difficult people on the face of the earth. And they are so hard to preach to. And I was explaining this to Amanda. For those of you who have seen Jaws, this is the way I kind of explain it. There's, you know, the crazy fisherman in Jaws, and he's actually explaining sharks to them. And he's like, you know, in that great accent, he's like, their eyes, they have black eyes, they're like doll's eyes, you know, like it's just like that there's no life there in them. And you're preaching your heart out. In my case, I'm preaching my heart out, and it's just like, I think we should start training them for like Texas Hold'em poker or something like that, because I was like, the best poker faces I've ever seen in the world. And so, you know, preaching to them about this thing. So during that Mass, we have a second set of bells for the Mass parts, and we couldn't find them. I don't know, only John knows where they are. And so this is what happens. So Amanda has this tiny little bell. I wish I had it, because it's like comically small. I mean, it's like maybe an inch by an inch bell. And she's like, Father, all I have is this bell. And so she rings it. I was like, oh, we'll use it anyway. But once she was a little bit of a distance from me during the Mass, you know, I'm elevating our Lord in the Eucharist, and I hear like, bing, 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 bing. And it was the tiniest little sound in the world. It was very funny. And so she said that she had this feeling, this thought during that Mass. She said, that's what I feel like Father Peter and I's voice is to these young people. It's like this tiny little bell. I was like, and sometimes that's what we have. We have that moment. But still, it's still being rung, and it's still being heard, even though it might seem so small at times. But one of the things that's so important in that moment that we're trying to teach those young people, and what I told them yesterday, is you just have to find a way to crack open your heart. Even if you can do it the tiniest bit, like all God needs is like even like a pinhole. But the more you could crack it open, the better. To let Christ's love and mercy flow into you. Just like we heard in these readings today, blood and water flow from the side of Christ on the cross. And those rays that come from Jesus in that image of divine mercy flow from him down on all of us, but only those that are willing to be his disciples and actually follow him. That's what mercy is open to. Some of the mystics of the church have been given a great gift, but it's also a very difficult and scary gift at times. One of the things that St. Faustina was exposed to, like many other mystics, was seeing hell, seeing damnation, and seeing some of those who were in hell. And most mystics describe it as the most terrifying experience and thing that they had ever experienced in their life. So they have a real sense of the necessity of God's mercy. But we have to respond, and it takes our response. But the apostles are great examples for us, because they're great examples of thick-headedness, but still being chosen to be one of God's disciples and messengers. We see that exactly with Thomas. You know, Thomas is like, I won't believe unless I see it for myself. He's being kind of thick-headed. But there's an important thing about that, though. When he does see, though, he doesn't hesitate anymore. He does believe. He does amend his life and say, okay. You know, but Christ says there's even greater things in store for those who can believe without having to see like Thomas. It's such an important thing for us to understand what discipleship looks like. Because when we fail, the other amazing sacrament that we get in this reading, John 20 is an amazing reading because of all that's contained in there for us. We also get the sacrament of reconciliation. So what happens when we do fail? We do fail in our discipleship with Christ. We have the sacrament of reconciliation so that we can go confess our sins and become right with God again. He says, whose sins you forgive are forgiven them. So he gives them the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then he actually gives them the ability to forgive sins. A lot of our non-Catholic brothers and sisters in Christianity don't understand why we have to go to confession. But many of our sacraments, especially in this particular case, are extremely scripturally clear. It's just like, I give you the gift of the Holy Spirit, and I give you the power to forgive sins, what is passed on in the priesthood throughout time and throughout salvation history. And so this is what we have to do. We actually have to crack open our hearts enough so that the Spirit can actually move us and move our life so that we're disciples of Christ and that we follow him and that we're exposed to his mercy. And it's all of those that have cracked their heart open wide enough that experience this grace of the Holy Spirit, which we hear from our reading is truth, the gift of the Spirit of truth, which is in you. Then subsequently, we become the people that bestow mercy on others and bring them into the bath of God's mercy. So this year, we're doing the Chaplet of Divine Mercy before every Mass, because this is Divine Mercy Sunday. There's not like a special separate Mass setting for it. But so that those who haven't been exposed to the Chaplet of Divine Mercy can be exposed to it before all of these Masses today, so that they can understand that the Lord wants you to be within his mercy. But there is that cost, and the cost is discipleship. The cost is following him. The cost is opening our heart to his Holy Spirit. God bless you all today.